The beast turned toward Calvin and Mr. Murray. This child is in danger. You must trust us. We have no alternative, Mr. Murray said. Can you save her?
I think so.
May I stay with her?
No.
But you will not be far away. We feel that you are hungry, tired, that you would like to bathe and rest, and this little, what is the word? The beast cocked its tentacles at Calvin.
Girl, Calvin said.
This little girl needs prompt and special care. The coldness of the... What is it you call it?
The black thing.
The black thing, yes. The black thing burns unless it is counteracted properly. The three beasts stood around Meg, and it seemed that they were feeling into her with their softly waving tentacles. The movement of the tentacles was as rhythmic and flowing as the dance of an undersea plant, and lying there, cradled in the four strange arms, Meg, despite herself, felt a sense of security that was deeper than anything she had known since the days when she lay in her mother's arms in the old rocking chair and was sung to sleep. With her father's help, she'd been able to resist it. Now she could hold out no longer. She leaned her head against the beast's chest and realized that the gray body was covered with the softest, most delicate fur imaginable, and the fur had the same beautiful odor as the air.
I hope I don't smell awful to it, she thought.
But then she knew with a deep sense of comfort that even if she did smell awful, the beasts would forgive her. As the tall figure cradled her, she could feel the frigid stiffness of her body relaxing against it. This bliss could not come to her from a thing like it. It could only give pain, never relieve it. The beasts must be good. They had to be good. She sighed deeply, like a very small child, and suddenly she was asleep. When she came to herself again, there was in the back of her mind a memory of pain, of agonizing pain. But the pain was over now, and her body was lapped in comfort. She was lying on something wonderfully soft in an enclosed chamber. It was dark. All she could see were occasional tall moving shadows, which she realized were beasts walking about. She had been stripped of her clothes, and something warm and pungent was gently being rubbed into her body. She sighed and stretched and discovered that she could stretch. She could move again. She was no longer paralyzed, and her body was bathed in waves of warmth. Her father had not saved her. The beasts had. "So you are awake, little one?" The words came gently to her ears. "What a funny little tadpole you are. Is the pain gone now?"
"All gone."
"Are you warm and alive again?"
"Yes, I'm fine."
She struggled to sit up.
"No, lie still, small one.
You must not exert yourself as yet. We will have a fur garment for you in a moment, and then we will feed you. You must not even try to feed yourself. You must be as an infant again. The black thing does not relinquish its victims willingly.
Where are Father and Calvin? Have they gone back for Charles Wallace?"
"They are eating and resting," the beast said. "And we are trying to learn about each other and see what is best to help you. We feel now that you are not dangerous and that we will be allowed to help you."
"Why is it so dark in here?" Meg asked.
She tried to look around, but all she could see was shadows. Nevertheless, there was a sense of openness, a feel of a gentle breeze moving lightly about, that kept the darkness from being oppressive.